Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. And then I'm going to read chapter 12, verse 1. And then we're going to pray. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. We began this thought a couple of weeks ago. I'm going to preach on this for this week and next week before we dig into something new. But it says, since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping Him with holy fear and awe. Since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful. Then Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We're talking about being unshakable this morning. Everybody say unshakable. Say it one more time, unshakable. You guys can be seated. Kids, you can be dismissed. First through fifth grade only. We're not quite ready to open up in preschool class yet, but first through fifth grade are welcome to go back to kids' church this morning. And let me just say real big happy Father's Day to all you dads out there. Happy Father's Day, guys. Let's give our dads a big hand. Let me know, Snow. We appreciate them. Happy Father's Day, all you dads that are watching with your families this morning. Man, we honor you. We just honor you and recognize you this morning. I know usually, you know, Father's Day, Mother's Day, we try to do something real big and crazy. I think, was it last year that we had motorcycles? Was it last year there were motorcycles on the stage? We always try to do something big. But just obviously with some of the things that have kind of come down these last few months, we just didn't feel like that was the thing to do. But we do want to say Happy Father's Day, amen. And I'm so thankful for my dad who's here and who's helped us from day one of this church. Wouldn't be here without him. Love you, Dad. And so let's pray and let's dig into the Word of God today. We're talking about being unshakable. Heavenly Father, we love you. I thank you so much for your presence here this morning, God, and I ask you in the name of Jesus to continue to meet with us. Lord, as we're already experiencing your presence, God, right now. Lord, I thank you that you allow us to worship, and when we worship you, God, you change the atmosphere and you move in a supernatural, rich, deep, and powerful way. And I pray, Father God, whether we're here together in this moment, God, whether we're and to everyone watching online, Father, and whenever we're watching, God, I pray that your power, your spirit, your grace, and your anointing, God, would come move in our midst, speak to us right where we are, open up our eyes to hear, our eyes to see, and our ears to hear everything that you want for us today in Jesus' name. In fact, why don't you put your hand on your belly, repeat this after me. Say, Jesus, speak to me today. Open up my eyes. Open up my ears. Let me hear what you want me to hear. Let me see what you want me to see so I can do what you want me to do and be everything you've called me to be in Jesus' name. Amen. We're talking about being unshakable because we have a kingdom and we are serving a king that the Bible that we just read a few moments ago says cannot be shaken. Amen. And in the midst of being a part of a kingdom in Christ and serving a king and surrendering to a king that is unshakable, here we are in the middle of this year, and friends, we are probably experiencing one of the greatest disruptions and one of the greatest moments in times of shaking that our world has ever known. Amen. I mean, it's not very hard to see. I think could even argue, at least for my lifetime, and I just turned 39 just a few weeks ago. But in my lifetime, I can't remember a greater disruption just hitting us in our world today from all angles and all facets that we are living in. I mean, I remember vividly 9/11 was probably one of the greatest disruptions that most of us have known. I would argue that as far as a worldwide, I mean, we are in the middle of a great, great disruption and a great, great shaking. Everything feels like it's being shaken. Amen? Everything feels like it's being shaken. Here's what we're understanding. This is what we talked about a couple of weeks ago. It's this. God uses shaking to show us things that we may need to let go of. Amen? Let me say that one more time. Sometimes when God begins to allow things or we begin to experience shaking, it's that God is showing us some things that we may need to let go of, because here is the reality. If we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, guess what? Anything that shakes is not the kingdom. Amen? Give me just a little bit of the house lights on, please, if I can. Some of the side lights, just so I can see faces. There we go. Oh, you guys are turning back off. This is not. No, I'm just kidding. Leave them. I'm just kidding. You guys are looking good. Listen. If it can be shaken, it's not the kingdom. Turn to your neighbor and say, if it can be shaken, it's not the kingdom. And so when things begin to shake, a lot of times God wants to shake something to say, hey, you might be holding on to something a little too tightly. That's not really the kingdom. That's not really what I have for you. You might be holding on to something and having something in your life that I want to shake you loose of because it's not my kingdom. It's not what I've called you for. Amen, somebody? I remember a long time ago when I was a teenager, man, first really beginning to really even probably before I really sold out and surrendered my life to Jesus. You know, I was raised in church and all that, and raised as a church kid and youth group kid, and definitely experienced Jesus as a young man, but wasn't really quite following Jesus like I know I needed to. Amen. But I still, even in that moment before I'd really surrendered my heart to God, we went on a missions trip. I remember very vividly one of the most early encounters I remember of just God speaking to me through someone. Was on a missions trip to Mexico, and as part of the missions trip, in fact, our Arrow Student Ministries was going to go. They should have been going, I think, in a week or two. They were planning on going to Mexico on a missions trip, very similar to this. And that's obviously not going to happen. That's going to be rescheduled sometime next year, probably. But anyway, so on these missions trips, the what was so powerful about it was we would go out and do ministry and tell people about Jesus and invite them to a church service at night. But in the mornings, we would kind of have our own little youth camp services where we would be ministered to and we would be encouraged to grow in our walk with God. And one of these moments, I remember very clearly, I was kind of sitting in a corner and people were, you know, music was playing and people were being prayed for. And one of the student leaders actually on the trip just kind of came over to me, and I was sitting in a corner, and she said, and it was a female. She said, Justin, I just really feel like there's some stuff in your past and stuff that has to do with your childhood and hurt that you're carrying around from your father, and I'll explain that in a second, that God wants to minister to. And I had never thought about it. If you know, my mom has shared her story, and we've shared our story before, but my mom was married previously, and my biological father is not my father that you see here today. And crazy story, all kinds of God orchestrated situations that created where we are today. Everything worked out like it's supposed to be. Amen, somebody? And so I've never felt like, because my dad adopted me very early on when I was two, so he's the only father. He is my father, the only father that I recognize and know, but I have another biological father. Does that make sense? Okay? And so as a teenager, and I never had felt that before. Does that make sense? I never walked around going, oh, I just, you know, wish I really knew my real dad or anything. I still don't have any of those. But there was something there that I didn't even know was there. And all of a sudden, as she began to speak that to me, all of a sudden, tears began to well run down my face. You're trying not to cry, your lips start, that little lip quiver thing. Like that starts happening. And lip starts to quiver. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit just overwhelmed me, man. And I just let loose of all of this stuff that I didn't know was there. What was going on? God came along and said, hey, I want to shake this a little bit because you're holding on to something. You don't even know you're holding on to it. But let me shake this a little bit, give you an opportunity to let go, because it's not my kingdom. It's not part of my plan for you. It's not the kingdom of God for you to be holding on to that hurt that you don't even know is there. Amen, somebody. In fact, come here real quick, Andre. Justin Andre, he knew he was gotten up right away. Dr. Dre, I call him Dr. Dre because there's too many Justins around. Look, hold on to that side. Hold on to that side. Listen. In fact, here's what's happening. Sometimes when you just don't, like, let me move it, but just hold on to it. Sometimes when you begin to feel shaking and you feel like your life is shaking, you know what's happening? You might be thinking that God is coming along, say right there, God is coming along shaking you, or that life is coming along shaking you and things are jacking you up. But what's actually happening is God is shaking the thing that you're holding on to that's not the kingdom. And sometimes the reason that we feel shook is because I'm holding on to something that can be shaken. Amen? Let me say that again. Say right there. Sometimes the reason I feel shook is because I'm holding on to something that can be shaken. And I will continue to feel shook as long as I'm holding on to that which can be shaken. Amen? But the moment, let go. The moment I let go of the thing that can be shaken, all of a sudden, my life starts to feel a lot less shook. Amen, somebody. How many want to feel less shook? How many want to feel less shaken? Then listen, when God begins to shake something, and I recognize it's not me that's actually being shaken, it's this thing I'm holding on to, let go of the thing that's showing you by its shaking, it's not the kingdom. Amen, somebody? Thanks, man. Listen, sorry, that was a non-social distance high five. We shouldn't have done that. My bad. So why does God want you to let go of this stuff? Why does this even matter? Why would God take the time to show some things that I'm holding on to that's able to be shaken, that's not the kingdom? What is the big deal? What difference does it make? Here's the difference it makes. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. The reason God would shake things that can be shaken to let you know this is something that's not the kingdom that you should let go of is because you and I, friend, have a race to run that we cannot run if I'm holding on to a bunch of things that aren't the kingdom weighing me down. You and I have a race to run for the glory of God. He put you here for a reason. He breathed life into you for a reason. He died on the cross and filled you with the Holy Spirit for a reason. He has a race for you to run, and I can't run it weighted down by things that aren't the kingdom. Amen, somebody? I don't know about you, but the older I get, and I know I'm not very old, but I'm getting old enough to realize that, man, I am appreciating simplicity in my life like never before. Amen, somebody? And I hope that over the last few months, we should have all learned to appreciate some of the simple things in life. Amen, somebody? I mean, simple is a beautiful thing. And we have come along and complicated so many things. We have added so much to what it means to follow Jesus. We've added so much to what it means to be a successful person. We've added so much garbage, I think, sometimes to what it means. And we feel like we've got to do this and we've got to do that. And God's come along these last few months and shaking some stuff and said, listen, I want you to run this race, but you've got to let go of some stuff that I'm shaking so you can run the race that I've called you to run. Amen, somebody? Listen. The shaking is there to help us let go of things that are actually hindering us. Well, how can I let go of that relationship? How can I let go of that friendship? How can I let go of that job or that career? How can I let go of these things? Listen, God, when God starts shaking it, say, hey, this thing is shakable. Guess what? It's not the kingdom. Amen, somebody? And what God is wanting to say is, listen, you're holding on to this thing thinking that it's helping you, but because it's able to be shaken, you don't understand. It's actually hindering you. It's actually hindering you. So let go of everything that can be shaken so we can hold on to the kingdom. God wants to shake some stuff sometimes, not because he wants us to feel shook, but because he wants us to get rebuilt and because he wants us to put our life on those things which cannot be shaken. Amen? In our personal life, we got stuff that God may have been shaking. I know there's been things in my life over the last few months that God has been shaking. And that shaking is simply, a lot of times, is to wake us up and to open our eyes to realize, hey, there's a whole lot of stuff that I'm holding on to, and that I'm actually, because I'm holding on to it, I'm actually hoping in it, and they're not him. They're not the king. They're not the kingdom. Amen, somebody? Listen, that job that God provided for you, listen, that job is the means that God might use to bring provision into your life, but your job, your employer, is not your provider. God is, child of God. Listen to me, son and daughter of God. Amen? Amen, somebody? I don't care who signs your check. That's your boss. They deserve respect. They deserve honor and all that, but God is the one that provided you. Come on, somebody. And the same God that gave you that job is the same God that can give you a better job once that one gets shook loose. Amen, somebody? Okay? We've experienced all these things being shaken, friendships that's been shaken, relationships that have been shaken. And you go, man, I don't know how I'm going to get through. I don't know how I'm going to move on. I don't know how I'm going to go on without that thing, without that activity, without that moment in my schedule, without that person in my life. And God is saying, listen, the very fact that they were able to be shaken is showing me and you that it wasn't the kingdom at all. Because if it was the kingdom, it would withstand the shaking, because Christ's kingdom is unshakable. Amen, somebody? We see this happening in a real big way. I believe with all of my heart that one of the major, see, when things begin to happen in the world, we live in a fallen, broken world. But I also know for a fact that God is using and is maneuvering and is redeeming everything happening in our lives that we experience. Amen? So when crazy things begin to happen, I begin to ask myself, God, what are you saying through this? What are you wanting to do through this? God, what is the bigger picture that you're wanting to accomplish through what's happening? Amen? Boy, guys, I mean, I don't think I'm alone. I don't think it takes a degree in evolutionary sociology to look around and understand that there are some big things being shaken in our world right now. Could it be at all possible that God is shaking systems that we have created in order to say these systems that you're holding on to, these kingdoms that you're holding on to, these ideals that you're holding on to, some of these beliefs and political views and whatever else things that we're holding on to, maybe God is shaking some of those to say, hey, this thing that you're holding on to and think is so important and such a big deal, friend, it is not the kingdom. Amen, somebody? It is not the kingdom. Guys, we have got to be willing. Let me say it this way. If I'm going to run the race that God has set out for me, and I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt, Red Life Church and the church worldwide, every single person that calls himself a believer, listen, we have a great race to run. We have not even begun to see what God has for us yet. Amen? But if I'm going to run the next leg of the race, if I'm going to run into the next part of glory and the next wind of revival that God has for us, if we are going to be the effective army that God has for us, we cannot do it holding on to shakeable systems. Amen, somebody. Listen, if because we had to close the doors down for 3 months and we had to do worship in our homes by ourselves and we had to be responsible for our own walks with God and you couldn't rely on the preacher and you couldn't rely on the worship team, and so for 3 months, if you haven't worshiped, haven't opened your Bible, haven't taken the time to invest on your own intentionally in growing in your walk with God, guess what? You weren't trusting in the kingdom. You were trusting in a system of religion to get you fed. And you, listen, well, I go to this kind of church with these cool lights and a preacher that doesn't wear a suit or a collar or anything, so surely you know. No, you can do that right here in this type of church, friend. Amen? You can make a religion out of anything. You can miss the mark on anything, no matter how godly or how right it may have been to begin with. Come on, somebody. Amen? God's shaking systems. Shaking systems. You want to rely? You want to walk out your whole spiritual life through showing up in a building on Sunday morning for an hour and think that you've done service to God and think that you're serving God and think that you're on fire for God because you plug in for 90 minutes once a week? Get off of that. I'll shut the thing down and we'll find out whose foundation is shakable and whose isn't. Amen? It's possible that man-made systems, let me say it this way. Is it possible, church, that God is shaking some systems loose? Because there might be a whole segment of the body of Christ that is needing attention. And we as the church and as the body of Christ cannot run the next leg of the race with an injured foot. That's continually in pain. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Amen, somebody? See, we look. You look at the. We might look at the protest, and we might look at the craziness and the most extreme, ridiculous things that's happening in our world, and go. And then we label that and say, well, forget all that. Listen, some of these people said some mean things and said some wrong things, and that happens on both sides. But listen, let's cut through all of the noise and all the junk. Is it possible that God in the year 2020? Is shaking some systems in our nation, shaking some systems in our culture, as to let us know, hey guys, there's a part of the body that still isn't quite the way it needs to be, the way that I want it to be. So let me shake that thing a little bit. Let me shake this thing a little bit so that we can give that part the attention that it needs. Amen, somebody? Now listen, the Bible is very clear. We are the body of Christ. Amen? The church is the body of Christ. Every person that believes in Jesus and has accepted his death, burial, and resurrection on the cross, we become the body of Christ. Amen? Now listen. When my foot is bleeding and hurting, I will give attention and bandage that foot. Will I not? You know what I probably won't do? I probably will not, after bandaging my foot, also look at my hand and begin to bandage my hand, because my hand also matters. Amen, somebody? Ticking people off all over the place. At home, logging out in record numbers. I don't care. Are you following what I'm saying? It's not that my hand doesn't matter. It's just that the injury is on my foot. And I can't run the race as a body that God wants me to if I keep ignoring what my foot is telling me when it's in pain. And the pain and the unrest is God shaking a system, saying there's something not right here. You can't run the rest of the race. You can't go into where I've called you to go if you keep pretending that this foot isn't a problem. And so systems are shaken. And I don't care whether you vote red, blue, green, yellow, whatever. I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, whatever side of the aisle. Listen to me. These systems are being shaken. And I believe it is God speaking loud and clear through the shaking, saying to you and I, his followers, stop trusting in man-made systems. Let go of man-made systems of power. Listen, if you believe for any amount of anything, it's all just one. This group wants to be in power, and this group wants to be in power. And as believers, we are supposed to be surrendered to the one who has all power. And if we think that either one of those don't want any of those things, we are kidding ourselves and holding on to a man-made system that will continue to shake. And as long as I'm trusting, believing, hoping, and clinging into any man-made system that is simply there to exhibit and display and control power, I will continue to shake with the system. But if I let go of the system and cling to Christ, I can cling to an unshakable kingdom. And even though this system over here is shaking, and I can see it and I can recognize it, I don't have to be shook along with the system. Come on, somebody. So what do we do? Friend, it's real simple. Let go of everything that can be shaken. Cling to Christ and his kingdom, and that's it. Amen. Now, this type of when God begins to shake these types of things, and you begin to shake along with it because we're holding on. And listen, I'm not saying this to say, oh, I've let go of it. Listen, I am shaking along with things and saying, okay, God, if this is shaking, I've got to let this go too. God, I thought this way. I had this mindset in my life, but God, you're shaking that. I've got to let that go. God, I thought a certain way about things, but I'm realizing that's shaking. I've got to let that go. Come on, somebody. I'm in the boat with you, and I'm recognizing, listen, it can be very uncomfortable. It can be very uncomfortable when something that I'm holding on to very tightly begins to shake. It can be very painful when something that I'm clinging to that's not the kingdom begins to shake. It can be downright painful and unpleasant when God begins to shake loose things that I thought was all good and was what I was supposed to. Listen, that can be very painful. So how do you survive the shaking? How do we survive the shaking? It's real simple. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 through 4 tells us. I'm going to read that, and I'm going to lay out a couple of ideas. He says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding his shame, and now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. After all, you have not yet given your lives in your struggle against sin. There are three, we could go pull a lot out there, but there are three main things I think if we'll do, we'll survive the shaking. And listen, I don't want you to get this wrong. God wants you to survive the shaking. God wants us to survive the shaking. God wants me and you to come out of this shaking with a greater sense of purpose, with a greater sense of destiny, and prepared to run the next leg of this race. And I believe God has a revival for us to run into. I believe God has glory for us to run into. I believe God has effectiveness in ministry and things to do that we have not even come close to yet. Amen, somebody? But we've got to survive the shaking. How do we do that? Number one, verse 2, fix your eyes on Jesus. Keep, what does that mean? That means to keep your gaze locked in to your Savior during the shaking. Amen, somebody? Fix your eyes on Jesus. Stay focused on Jesus. Remember, it is all about Jesus. The moment that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and bowed my knee and proclaimed him King of my life was supposed to become about him. It's about him before it's about Republican. It's about him before it's about Democrat. It is about him before it's about Blue Lives Matter. It is about him before it's about Black Lives Matter. It is about him before it's about All Lives Matter. It is about him before it's about America. It is about him before it's about Trump or Biden or any other man. It is about him before it is about anything else. Fix your eyes on Jesus. And when you fix your eyes on him, you'll be able to begin, and he will help you see through all the other stuff that's not him. Amen? Fix our eyes on Jesus. The second thing, he says, fix your eyes on Jesus, and then he uses Jesus as an example. And he uses what Jesus did on the cross as an example of how we can survive the shaking. He said the first thing Jesus did after you get your eyes on Jesus, he says you're going to see this. He says that he endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. Now, the joy set before Jesus was you and me. It was the people that would be saved and redeemed because of what he was enduring on the cross. That was the joy set before Jesus. Amen? That means that Jesus, listen, we got to remember that, guys, that the prize, the thing that allowed Jesus to suffer and endure the shaking and endure the brutality of the cross and of that moment was the joy set before him. And that joy included black folks. That joy included white folks. That joy included police officers. That joy included people that have been looting and rioting and doing all sorts of nonsense. That joy included racists and people that have perpetrated all sorts of nonsense. That joy included every sinner, every saint. That joy included every person that will ever draw breath on this planet. And Jesus said they were the prize set before him. Now it's easy for me sometimes to realize and recognize myself as the prize. But we got to remember all the people that we disagree with, they are also his prize. Come on, somebody. If you're watching at home, just say amen. Whether you agree with me or not, just say amen anyway. Type it right there in the comments. The people you disagree with are also his prize. The people who voted differently than you are also his prize. The people who are experiencing a different type of experience in this nation right now, they are also a prize. And if they're a prize to him, friend, listen, don't mess this up. If they're a prize to him, they better be a prize to us too. I love you. They better be a prize to me too. What I also need to recognize, though, if I want to survive the shaking on a personal level, is I got to remember there is a prize after the pain. There is a prize after the pain of the shaking, after the pain of the uncertainty, after the pain of letting go of what you've been holding on to. There is a prize that God has for us. That prize is us running the race that God has called us to run. And that brings with it all sorts of things. Amen? The third thing we've got to do, man, this might be the most important thing we've got to do. They're all important, but this might be the deal breaker. Listen, verse 3 and 4. He says, think of all the hostility he endured, talking about Jesus. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people, and then you won't become weary and give up. After all, you have not yet given your lives in struggle against sin. You know what he tells them? He says, guys, I know you feel like you're in pain. I know you feel like you're struggling. But he says, if you can just have a little bit of the right perspective on the pain that you're going through in light of the pain that Jesus went through to get you to where you are right now, it might be able to help you deal with your pain. He says, guys, you have not yet given your lives in your struggle yet. You have not shed blood in your struggle yet. And, man, it's so easy. It's so easy to post something and get into a debate on some kind of social media thing these days, right? And you post a picture of your point of view, and then a bunch of people start commenting at different points of view and maybe even saying some mean and nasty things, and then you go away going, oh, I'm being so persecuted. And I don't mean to make light of it, because it is painful and it is mean and it is nasty. But if we can just have just a little bit of, if I could just give a little bit of perspective, nobody's driving nails through your hands yet. They just said some stuff that you didn't agree with on a phone. No, but it was really mean and nasty, and they should know better. I know they was mean. I know they typed it in all caps, which means they were yelling at you. Many of us are not really enduring real pain in this shaking. Not in light of what Jesus has done. Amen. And if I can get my perspective to shift a little bit, if I can raise my gaze, if I can raise my eyesight a little bit and recognize what Jesus has done, and then look at Jesus and then look at what I'm going through, sometimes it's like, okay, yeah, that's a little painful, but it's not that bad. I can live. I'll survive if I let go. Amen? It calls him, when he's talking about Jesus here, he says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. Verse 2, the champion, in my translation here, the New Living Translation, it says, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. More traditional translation, the King James would say, the author and finisher, or the author and perfecter of our faith. You know what that means? Listen. It means Jesus, listen, Jesus is the one writing your story as a child of God. And listen to me now. If I let Jesus be the author of my story, if I hand over control of the pen to Jesus, he will be writing a story for you and me that can't be shaken. The story Jesus is writing for you and for me is one that cannot be shaken. How many want an unshakable story? How many How many want a story that cannot be shaken? Guess what? I can do that as I continually, every day, surrender and continually allow Jesus to be. Not only is he the author, not only is he the initiator, not only is he the one that starts it, but friend, he will be the one that finishes it. He will be the one that perfects it. Through the shaking, he's writing an unshakable story. Hallelujah. Through the pain and the discomfort and the shaking process, letting you know there's things that you got to let go of, you know what he's doing? He's writing an unshakable story so that we can run the race that God has called for us. Stanley, all over this place this morning. I don't enjoy shaking. I don't enjoy having to be confronted. I don't enjoy having to be confronted with my own faults and my own mistakes and my own stuff that I've got to change. And I don't enjoy any of that any more than anybody else does. In fact, if I'm completely honest, I probably fight it more than most of you do. If I'm just completely transparent with you today. I mean, I'll hold on. I'll hold on until the very last thread unravels. And I have no choice at all, but to change, but to let go. But I'm learning that there is something greater going on if I begin to let go sooner. And even though I don't enjoy the pain of the shaking, I am going to enjoy the prize of the race that God has for me to run. And so are you. Amen. Will you just bow your heads for a moment and close your eyes over this place? Just as a way to focus, just as a way to take a moment, let the Holy Spirit speak to us personally and individually. If you're joining us at home, or you're watching this some other time on home and worshiping right now, wherever you are in a car, on a break room somewhere, just take a second if you can. Just if you can, close your eyes. Just ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you. And this is what I want you to understand, first of all. We talked about his crucifixion and resurrection. We talked about that already today a little bit. But I want you to understand, he laid down his life for you 2,000 years ago. Jesus was crucified. Jesus died a sinner's death. And friend, he did that so that he could bring you and I in, and so that he could make you and I a part of the story, this unshakable story that he's writing. And right now, today, your story can become part of his story. And you can do that by deciding that today, right now, in this moment, I'm going to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I'm going to stop writing my own story. I'm going to let Jesus be the author and the finisher of my story. I'm going to accept everything that Jesus did for me 2,000 years ago. And here is what he did for you and me, friend. The Bible says that Jesus was a perfect man, the only perfect man and sinless man that ever existed on this planet. The Bible, the law, tells each and every one of us that we are to not sin at all and to live perfectly according to the law. However, because of sin that lives on the inside of each and every single one of us, because we are all born in a state of sin, that is an impossible task. So God the Father sent Jesus, his only son, to the earth and said, Jesus, I want you to live the life of perfection and sinlessness that none of them, because of their sin, can ever live. And Jesus came to the earth and did that for about 33 years. And the Bible says, because we are lawbreakers, when I break the law, the punishment for me breaking the law is death. And so what Jesus did, Jesus said, I will live the life that they are supposed to live. And he says, but then after living a life of perfection that they are supposed to live, I will then offer myself as a sacrifice and receive their punishment on my body in their place and in their behalf. And that's exactly what happened 2,000 years ago on a cross in Jerusalem on a hill called Calvary. Jesus paid the price. The pure, perfect, spotless, sinless Lamb of God paid the price for you and me. And for you to begin to receive Jesus, and for you to let him begin to write your story, all you've got to do is receive that sacrifice that Jesus had for you and admit and say in whatever way. I'm going to lead you in prayer if you want to in just a moment. But in whatever way is meaningful to you, you just simply need to say, God, I receive Jesus, what you've done. Forgive me for my sin. And help me to live for you. And then we begin to follow Jesus from that moment on. Are you going to be perfect? No. Are you going to make mistakes? Yep. Are you going to have it all figured out? Yes. Are you going to understand everything? Nope. Are you going to have lots of questions and doubts and fears and worries? You sure will. But will Jesus be there to guide you through every single one if you let him? 100% of the time. So I just want to encourage you right now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, whatever you're doing, anybody joining us online, listen, if you're watching us online and you say, man, I'm praying that prayer, I'm going to receive that today, I'm going to invite you in this room in just a moment to raise your hand, but if you're not with us physically, just drop that hand emoji in the comment section or just type in there, man, I'm praying that prayer, I'm making Jesus my Savior today, when we give this invitation. But right now, if that's where you are, say, man, I want to make Jesus the author of my story. I want to make Jesus the author of my story. I want to receive what he did for me 2,000 years ago. I want to begin a new life in Christ. I'm just going to ask you right now, just raise your hand right now. I'm not going to call you down front. I am going to ask you to raise your hand. It's just a public sign to say, man, I'm praying this prayer. Amen. 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 Thank you. I see a couple hands up this morning. Let's everyone in this room pray this prayer. If you're watching online, pray this prayer right now out loud so that you can hear it with your own ears. Say, Jesus. Come on, everyone in this room, pray. Jesus, I come to you right now, just like I am, a sinner who has committed sin. But I believe that you are the Son of God, that you died on the cross, that you rose from the dead, and that you did it all just for me. And I ask you right now to forgive me of my sin. Come and live on the inside of me through the Holy Spirit. Help me to live for you from this moment on. Be the writer of my story. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Holy Spirit, make that real. Right now in homes and living rooms and kitchen tables, make that real. Right now in this sanctuary, this auditorium, make that real. Let your presence, like a fresh wind, breathe into this place, Heavenly Father. Make this moment more real than we could ever have, in Jesus' name. In just a moment, the worship team is going to lead us in one final time of worship. These altars are open if you need to come and receive prayer or just need to come and find a place to pray. But this is how I'm going to pray it today. This is what I'm going to encourage you to do. See, some of you, I'm actually surprised that everything held up on this while I was messing with this the whole time. You see me shaking this pulpit, you see me shaking this podium, and as I do, your mind, your heart might be instantly going to things in your life that you know God has been shaking in your life. Maybe you haven't wanted to admit it, maybe you haven't wanted to look at it, maybe you just keep ignoring it and hope it'll go away. It's not going to go away, and you're going to continue to be shook as long as you're holding on to what can be shaken. So what am I asking you to do? What am I encouraging you to do? If I could come through with a set of bolt clippers and cut it for you, I would, but I can't. You've got to let go of yourself. This is what we're going to do, man. Let's determine right now. I am going to let go of everything that's not the kingdom. I'm going to let go of every mindset. I'm going to let go of everything I'm holding on to. I'm going to allow everything of my life to be shaken so that what remains can be the kingdom. Can we do that, church? Amen? Because God has a race for us to run. God has people for us to reach. God has people for us to show his love, mercy, and grace to, and we cannot run that race holding on to a bunch of shakable things. Amen, somebody? Rich, lift your hands with me over this place if you can, man, just as a sign of openness and surrender, and let's invite the Holy Spirit, and let's make a declaration right now to say, God, I am going to hold on to everything that is you and let go of everything that is not. Father, make that our heart, make that our prayer, make that what we lean into, God, in Jesus' name. Help us to survive the shaking by fixing our eyes on you by knowing that there is a prize beyond the pain. And I pray that you give us supernatural perspective to see what we're going through and what you're doing as things shake. And God, as things shake, God, I pray that you give us the heart to let each and every one of them go. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen and amen. Come on, let's worship for a moment. These altars are open if you need to find a place to pray. Let's end this time with just a declaration of praise to our God right now.